If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Video conferencing service Zoom looks to make a major acquisition. And some American corporations are resuming political donations to Republicans.
Right after the riot happened, a lot of these companies came out and announced that they were going to pause or review their donations.
We'll look at who is getting what. And banks are pushing employees to start meeting clients in person again. It's Monday, July 19th. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The video conferencing service Zoom is set to make its biggest acquisition ever. The company said it's agreed to an all-stock deal with Five9, a provider of cloud-based customer service software valued at $14.7 billion. The deal is part of a broader effort by Zoom to continue growing once the effects of the pandemic wane and people return to the office and shift to hybrid work. There have been more COVID-19 cases reported among athletes and officials ahead of the Tokyo Olympics, which are set to begin on Friday. On Sunday, South Africa's soccer governing body said two of its men's team members based in the Olympic Village tested positive. U.S. tennis star Coco Gauff will also miss the games after testing positive. So far, 55 people connected to the Olympics, including officials and contractors working on the Summer Games, have tested positive since the start of July, according to data from the organizers. It comes as tens of thousands of participants from more than 200 countries enter Japan, where vaccination rates are low and the more transmissible Delta variant of the virus spreads. Hedge fund billionaire William Ackman's Special Purpose Acquisition Company, or SPAC, said it is dropping plans to invest in Universal Music Group, the world's largest music business. Ackman's SPAC, Pershing Square Tontine Holdings, said it opted to end its agreement to buy 10% of Universal Music because of issues raised by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Instead, Ackman's hedge fund Pershing Square Holdings said it would take a large stake in Universal, which is owned by French conglomerate Vivendi. Last month, the SPAC had said it would pay about $4 billion for the stake in Universal Music, home to artists including Billie Eilish and Taylor Swift. The deal had valued Universal Music at about $40 billion. In Washington, lawmakers dropped a provision that would boost federal tax collection enforcement to help fund the roughly $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure package. The move came after pushback from Republicans who were wary of granting the Internal Revenue Service more power and money. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said he would take the first procedural step today to set up a vote on Wednesday to begin debate on the infrastructure bill. And a Tokyo court handed down prison sentences to the American father-son duo convicted over their roles in helping former Nissan chief Carlos Ghosn escape Japan in late 2019. Michael Taylor received a sentence of 2 years in prison, and his son Peter received a 20-month sentence. Ghosn was facing trial in Japan over financial charges when he escaped. He denies wrongdoing and says he fled because he didn't think he could get a fair trial. He currently lives in Lebanon, which doesn't have an extradition treaty with Japan. As the number of U.S. construction projects rises in a rebounding economy, some companies are finding it difficult to cover the increasing costs of materials. To discuss this, we're joined by WSJ Markets editor Quentin Webb. Hi, Quentin.
Hi there, Keith.
So which construction materials are we talking about here, and what's driving their rising prices?
Well, we're talking about quite a lot of basic materials, so steel, copper, brass, lumber, laminate, and plastic materials like PVC piping as well. And what's happening is really something that I think is probably quite familiar to a lot of listeners of the podcast. You know, there are all these bottlenecks when it comes to both production and transport. And then, of course, as the economy reopens, there's also rising demand as well. So those things are combining to push prices up quite rapidly.
What sort of challenges are construction companies facing from these elevated costs?
Well, I would say there are two basic challenges that this brings. I mean, the first is that, of course, there's a long time lag. So you could win a bid to build something, but you might have to wait months before you actually construct it. So in the meantime, if material prices rise and you haven't factored that into your contract, you might have to eat that extra cost yourself. And the second issue is a competitive one. So even if you do try and be prudent in how you bid for projects, There's no guarantee that you won't be underbid by someone else who has been less prudent. So those two things together are making it very difficult, a lot of people in the construction industry say, to kind of adequately compensate for these very volatile raw material prices.
Quentin Webb in Hong Kong, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
OPEC and a group of oil-producing allies led by Russia agreed to increase output by 400,000 barrels a day each month through the end of 2022. Demand for crude has been recovering as many economies are on the upswing. Oil prices had eased in anticipation of the output deal, which restores all the cuts the two groups of producers made at the start of the pandemic. And another week of earnings season opens with IBM set to report results after markets close. Coming up, some big U.S. corporate names have resumed making political donations to Republicans. We'll speak to our political reporter about who's giving what.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Some of the biggest names in corporate America have resumed political donations to Republican lawmakers who voted against certifying President Biden's election victory. Filings this week to the Federal Election Commission show many large companies' political action committees made recent donations to that group of nearly 150 GOP lawmakers. For more on this, we turn to our political reporter, Chad Day. He spoke with our Charlie Turner.
Chad, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So going back, could you set the stage for us, remind us of what happened following the riot and the vote to certify the election? Why were donations halted?
Right. So right after the riot happened, a lot of these companies came out and announced that they were going to pause or review their donations, basically saying that they were going to kind of review the criteria that they used to be able to give political donations. Some of them did blanket pauses where they paused all of their donations. And some of them said, we're only going to stop giving political money to members of Congress who voted to not certify the election. The ones that we were looking at are kind of fall into that first bucket where they announced blanket pauses or reviews. And now we're seeing them starting to give again.
Well, let's talk about that change. You've been going through the numbers. What did you find?
Yeah, so what we found is that, you know, some of these big companies like American Airlines, GM, Tyson, UPS, their political action committees have started giving money to some of the, you know, not all, but some of the members who voted to overturn the election results, voted not to certify them. And so what we're seeing is kind of this, you know, a lot of these companies come out and say, well, you know, we need to be able to make these contributions because it makes business sense. We give bipartisan to, you know, both sides of the aisle, and we give to members who support our policies. And so some of those members that they see that support their policies and their business interests happen to be in that bucket of lawmakers who said, you know, we're going to vote not to certify the 2020 election results. And so what you're seeing is like some of these pauses that happened start to kind of go away, where companies are trying to kind of turn back to, you know, business as usual.
Well, Chad, were there any particular donations that stood out to you?
I would say groups of donations actually stick out to me. And the reason I say that is that some of these companies are ones where, you know, take American Airlines, for instance, where, you know, that's a situation where it's a company that's, you know, its industry's been hit very hard by the pandemic. It's in the center of you know, a lot of policy discussions that are going on around infrastructure and the stimulus. And so, you know, for them to kind of do a blanket pause, they now see this as saying, well, you know, we need to be in the middle of some of these discussions on the Hill. And so this is one way that they can kind of have their voice heard on the Hill is by giving these donations. I would also say that there's other companies here that are kind of perennially very big donors. And these are defense contractors where, you know, the large part of their business is very much, you know, dealing with the federal government. And so they need to be able to kind of play in all of these kinds of different arenas in Washington. And this is kind of one of those main areas where they do that.
Big picture here, Chad. Could you tell us how crucial these donations are to political candidates
Sure. So, you know, over the past few years, we've kind of seen this rise of small dollar donations that happen online. And, you know, politicians have become very adept at being able to raise large amounts of money, which has actually kind of lessened the influence of corporate PAC money. However, there's a caveat to that, which is that there are still a number of rank and file lawmakers who rely heavily on corporate PAC money for their campaign funds. We did a review earlier this year that looked at, you know, about 100 members, and it's kind of split bipartisan on both sides of the aisle, rely on PAC donations for more than 40% of their campaign funds. And so it's still a large amount of money that comes into these campaigns for kind of the lesser known members of Congress.
And what about specifically the group of lawmakers that voted against certification?
Yeah, so this is good news for them. They're going to start getting more and more PAC money, but it's not equally distributed across all of them. There are some of them that are ranking members on some committees that are, have a lot more power when it comes to particularly infrastructure or transportation or other policy areas that are seeing more of the funds directed their way. But yeah, you know, when kind of big picture here, it's that, you know, big names in corporate America are starting to kind of, you know, loosen the purse strings when it comes to this and have kind of said, you know, we did these pauses, we did these reviews, and now we're going to, you know, say we're going to take it case by case. And that means some of these lawmakers are going to continue to see PAC money go their way.
Wall Street Journal reporter Chad Day. Chad, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, for some bankers, in-person meetings are coming back after a long hiatus during the pandemic. Major firms are urging their bankers to get out there and visit clients, and quickly, before rivals do. The Journal's Cara Lombardo has more.
JP Morgan, you know, in an effort to motivate its bankers to hit the road, came up with a contest. It ran during the month of June, and basically it awarded bankers points for meetings. You get, you know, 10 points if you're meeting with the CEO at a dinner, for example, 5 for visiting CEO in the office, 3 for CFOs, and then 1 point for, you know, other executives. And by the end of the month, whoever has the most points is going to get a prize. Now, the prize in this case was a dinner with their bosses, so it wasn't the greatest prize for people who are typically pretty well-paid bankers, but still it got people going and got them out seeing clients.
And that's What's News for Monday. We're back tonight with a new show. Feel free to leave us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.